Halakha Gemara, we're on page Lamed Gimel. And we're going to learn about the greatness of Rabbi Akiva today. Get a little taste of Lag BaOmer in a roundabout way. And then we'll talk a little bit how we can learn so much about Chanukah, which is Haba Alina Letova, from this Torah. Okay, the title of the piece is V'la Erev Al Tanach Yadecha. It's a pasuk in Koheles Perkut Aleph. Lo Lihis Yayish La'olam, never to give up hope. Hanhaga Nale V'Netzeles Zu. This way of living one's life, where you always try to do what you can do. Lo Lidog Daigas HaMachar, not to worry about tomorrow. Lo Lachshov Al Totzas Pulosav. Like we spoke about last week, not to worry about the results, but just to do what you're supposed to do. Re'inu Eitzel Gedolei Amein, we find by some of the greatest people in our history who lived lives where they did whatever they could do. And sometimes it was very difficult to pick themselves up and to try to do it, especially after having tried so many times and had been rejected. There are many wondrous stories in Chazal, al tzadikim, shemshichu b'mefalam af lolo re'iyas peros hatzlacha. Tzadikim who kept trying, who continued to do, even though they did not see the fruit of their labor. They didn't see success in a revealed sense. V'gam la'achar sh'aya nira ki kol ha'yegeos l'rikhayu. And even after seemingly been rejected to the point that all their effort was totally in vain. To work and to work and to work and nothing comes of it is a very frustrating feeling. Yet there were tzaddikim who continued to try. V'davka ekev amidasam ha'itana. But it was only because of their strong commitment. V'yizchazkusam lahamshich b'avodasam. And the strengthening of themselves to continue their avoda. V'zachu liros besofo shaldavar hatzlacha rabba. That in the end, what seemed like an endless amount of frustration blossomed into something very beautiful. I think Rav Noach Weinberg said, when someone asked him about how he created Eisha Torah, so he said, I created 10 yeshivas in my life. The first 8 completely failed. The 9th one was Or Samech, and the 10th one was Eisha Torah. Okay, so if he would have stopped, and if he would have gotten down on himself, and he tried to make a yeshiva, and it didn't work. And by the way, Eisha Torah's humble beginnings were basically like 3 Jews sitting around the table in an apartment. And now you look at Eisha Torah today. Baruch Nias Uvagashmias, you know? Adam could tell you about it. What a beautiful building, that view from the roof in Kamal Ba'olam. Yeah, but it's a person who believes in himself, a person who keeps trying, a person who doesn't get frustrated. Bahavdil in the secular world, there's many, many examples of this. Authors who became super successful, who were rejected countless times. Everyone from the author of Harry Potter to Dr. Seuss, people whose books were totally laughed at and ridiculed, and then they went on to become very, very successful and very, very famous. It's true in the world of music, it's true in the world of the arts, right? And Alach Haskam V'Kama, it's important and true in the world of Torah. Because in Torah, everything's based on the effort. Anu Amelu Mekavim Schar. What does the Chavetz Chaim explain? Chavetz Chaim al Torah Parshas B'Chukosai. Anu Amelim U'Mekavim Schar. V'Heim Amelim V'Enim Mekavim Schar. We get paid just for trying. So the end of the success story for those authors is that their book eventually took off and they made millions of dollars and they became very famous, if that's considered success. If that's a good thing. Okay. But for us, you can keep trying, you can keep failing. You don't have to have the Eisha Torah. You don't even have to have that 10th success. In the end, if you keep trying, eventually you'll have the success. Hopefully you'll see it with your own eyes in this world. Certainly if not, you'll see it in the next world. But again, anu amelim u'mekavim schar. You get paid for trying. You get paid for showing up. You sit 3 hours in the base, trying to understand the Gemara. And I mean, you're actually trying, not just sitting there with an open Gemara, but you're actually trying to understand the Gemara. You're working on it. Right? You're looking up words. You're looking up sukkim. You're looking up other quotes from different Mishnayos that the Gemara is bringing. And you're putting in all the effort, and you still don't really have a grasp of the sugya. But you're going to get paid full credit because you tried. It's not about results. Hashem says, just keep trying. Yes? Yes, yagati. Right, yagati umatsasi. If a person tries, you'll find. Right, there's yagia, and then there's a metzia. The metzia, the reward, is so much greater than what you put in the effort. So you have to just keep trying. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter says. There were many tzaddikim throughout history, throughout Jewish history, who kept trying. And we're going to learn some of those stories. And it was because of their commitment that they kept pushing. Zachu liros besofa shaldavar, again, hatzlacha rabba. They saw great success in the end. Gam achar kishlonos gedolim, after much stumbling. Shayunirim lalo neso, v'shalo yuchlu lamud behem. when it looked like they couldn't get up anymore, but they tried one more time, and it was dafka then that they had a break, had a breakthrough. Sheva yipol tzaddik, become. The tzaddik falls many times and he gets back up. And he gets back up and he knows that if I keep trying, eventually I'll have success. Okay? Bottom paragraph. Kinei b'meseches Yevamis. We find the Meseches Yevamis, the great strength of who? Of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had every reason in the world to want to, to want to call it quits. Darash Rabbi Akiva darshan din Yevamis samach bezum abis. On the pasuk ba boker zara zar esar echa. Missing the word S. The word S is in the pasuk. Bavoker zara es zar echa v'la erev al tanach yadecha. In the morning, you should plant your seeds. And in the evening, you should not withdraw your hand. You should not rest. Meaning, keep trying. Says Rabbi Akiva, if you establish many talmidim in your youth, ha-made talmidim, you should also establish talmidim in your old age. We always use the word for standing up for talmidim. V'ha-midu talmidim harpe. So if you stood up talmidim in your youth, you should stand up talmidim. You should stand up talmidim in your old age. The idea of standing up talmidim, again, from Pirkei Avos, right? To stand up talmidim, the Chazon Ish explained, meant that you have to give your student the ability to be able to function independently. The student can't be bound to the Rebbe to such a degree that he can't live his life without his Rebbe around. Of course, you need a Rebbe to ask Shilas to, you need a Rebbe for guidance. But there has to be. Hopefully, the Rebbe has given the talmidim the tools to stand on their own. That's why we always use the lashon of amida when it comes to talmidim. So Rabbi Akiva says, from this pasuk in Kohelis, we learn, if you establish talmidim in your youth, continue to stand up talmidim, to have talmidim in your old age. Vehu hatana kadosh Rabbi Akiva atzmo asher kiyem davar kadsho ba'ofen hanalev haniskov. Turn the page. Bioser, Rabbi Akiva himself practiced what he preached. Rabbi Akiva, there's no greater example of a person who had such a yeshiva in his youth, in his younger years, and he continued to try even in his older years. Shayilo esrim va'arba elef talmidim. He had 24,000 outstanding talmidim. V'kula mesum in Pesach la'atzeres. V'ya'olam shamim. Rabbi Akiva's talmidim were lost, and the world was desolate. Achaba itzel rabosenu shebedarom. Until Rabbi Akiva found a couple of Torah scholars in the south, and he started to teach them. And it was those five Jews we're going to talk about, those Talmidim, the second Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, that established the Torah as we know it today. Some point out that the celebration of Lag BaOmer might be intimately connected to this. Because some Achronim suggest that it could be that it was the Chidah has this in the Tshuva. It could be that on Lag BaOmer itself, that was the day Rabbi Akiva decided to start teaching again. So the celebration of Lag BaOmer is after being crushed, after losing 24,000 Talmidim. The fact that he could pick himself up, right, that is the simcha of Lag BaOmer. It's a celebration of Rabbi Akiva as much as it is of his Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Akiva's inner fortitude to pick himself up and to keep building, he took that first step to rebuild his yeshiva on Lag BaOmer. That's the greatest celebration in the world. And that's how we have Torah today. Had Rabbi Akiva given up, we don't have the Torah as we know it today. Rabbi Akiva is the shorish of Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's the second group, the five Talmidim, who become the basis of Kol HaTorah Kula, as we know it today. Hanhaga Na'atzel Ezu, second paragraph from page Lamed Daled. Hanhaga Na'atzel Ezu Banahag Rabbi Akiva. Again, this lofty way of living one's life was the way of Rabbi Akiva. Mochicha al koach ha'adir, shel eschazkus va'amida b'gvura l'malem yigedra anoshi. Rabbi Akiva's unbelievable strength to do the impossible. It was humanly impossible to be able to face life in any stage, in any situation, at any time. Because think about how much he had gone through to get to those 24,000 Talmidim. What Rabbi Akiva had already gone through to get there, you would have thought that, the struggle was everything up to the 24,000. But then he lost the 24,000. And he could have easily said, that's it, I'm done. But he said, okay, I'll try again. It was superhuman what he did. V'hekriv al-zeh yama v'shnosav. Right, that he gave up his whole life to get to those 24,000. U'v'tamidim eilu haisa t'muna kol ha-torah shbal peh. K'mo sh'amru chazal, sh'la'achar p'tirasam haya'olam shamin. And those 24,000 wore the entirety of Torah to such a degree that the Gemara says in Yevamis that when they died, the world was shamim, desolate. There was nothing left. And if you think it's not a significant loss, recognize the fact that to this day we're still mourning them. That we're living our lives. The halacha is reflecting their loss till this very day. The avelus of the Yemei Sfira. Avur ha'ason ha'gadol v'hanora shachor ben kol ha'Torah kula. It was the greatest tragedy, the greatest loss of Torah in history. And Rabbi Akiva is the one, right, who on the cover of the newspapers, right, is the one who's left to answer questions to the reporters. A chorban, Rabbi Akiva could have said, "I'm moving to Maine. I'm getting a nice little cabin. And I'm calling it, you know, to sit back and just, I don't know, maybe write my svarim or whatever. Sit by my fireplace with a cup of coffee." But he didn't. It was the greatest tragedy in history. And Rabbi Akiva overcame. Next paragraph. V'im kol zos gam la'achar ha'ason ha'gadol hazeh. After this great tragedy, lo nach Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't rest. V'lo shaket, and he did not step back. V'chol shaken shelo nafal izros hayayish. And all the more so, not only did he not retire, right, with a negative attitude, but he didn't retire at all. He kept going. He wasn't miyayish. Elakiyim tafkido be'amuno v'shleimus. But he said, "My tafkid is to be a Rebbe. I'm Rabbi Akiva. My job is to teach Torah. So, if I had a yeshiva of 24,000, no, so I'll have a yeshiva of 5. Shelo chashav al hatzlacha, he didn't consider the success. Kiyam al asiyah. He focused on the obligation to do. This is the world of asiyah. V'kiyam b'nafsho mashadar shal ha-pasuk, and he practiced what he preached on this pasuk in Koheles. V'la erev al tanach yadecha. In the evening, al tanach yadecha. Do not allow your hands to grow weary. Don't let your hands rest. V'halach lahami talmidim chadoshim ziknuso. And he established that new yeshiva in his old age. U'matza chamisha talmidim mukhsharim. He found 5 quality students and he taught them. Now you can again imagine the strength it took him to start over. I don't know what these talmidim were up to in the meantime, right? But the 5 talmidim in the Dharam, these 5 talmidim in the south. U'bevadai shezakukim lekochos gevura lemala miderach hateva lahaschim lechadosh. To start over after such a loss was impossible. It took unbelievable strength. Im chabura ze'ira shel chamisha talmidim, a small chabura, 5 talmidim. La'achar tzacha ko gedola shel chof dalet elef talmidim. Can you imagine? A person who's used to giving shir to 24,000 is now sitting with five guys. Not guys, like chashuv guys. Right? But can you imagine? Imagine a chashuv speaker shows up, you know, to a stadium. Right? A big event. Yeah, they're expecting tens of thousands of people. Yeah, and imagine this this Rav comes up to Darshan, and there's 5 people in the crowd. It's like an international speaker, you know, who usually speaks in front of tens of thousands of people. Right? 5 people show up for this year. So it's a bizarre. Don't feel safe, you know, forget it, don't even speak. So why? I can teach Torah to 5 people. I remember Meir Goldwiff told me in Camp Masorah many years ago. We were walking on the road one day, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but he said to me, he said, a person who's willing to give shir to 5 people will be zochet to give shir to 5,000 people. And the person who says, I'm not only going to do it if it's, you know, if it's worth it. It's worth it to do it if I have a big shir. A person who believes that teaching Torah matters. Rabbi Akiva believed, my avodah is to teach Torah. So I once had a yeshiva 24,000. They died a tragic death. Right? I'm sure he felt, maybe it's my fault. I didn't educate them properly. No, let's try again. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. Yeah, it highlights the fact that numbers don't necessarily mean anything. The Jewish people are the smallest people. Right? Pasuk says, Mefurash, you're going to be Ma'at Mikola Amim. And yet, we're the most impactful. So don't be fooled by big numbers. 100% true. Okay, the bottom of page Lamed Dalet. Chamisha Ma'oros B'Mokom Chof Dalet Elef. 5 luminaries, 5 great lights in the place of 24,000. Ulam kafishiro and besof hare daika chamisha talmidim elu Rabbi Akiva limdam leisik nuso. Dafka these 5 talmidim Rabbi Akiva started over with at the end of his life. Lacher kol hachorban hanora, after this unbelievable chorban, dafka talmidim elu ha'ira sa'olam b'torasa. It was dafka those 5 talmidim who lit up the world with their Torah. Umehem nimshicha ha'torah shabal peh ad hayom hazeh. And these 5 names which we're about to review, and their accomplishments, it's mamish kol ha-Torah kula. Those 24,000 which were kol ha-Torah kula were replaced by these 5, which are also kol ha-Torah kula. Who are the 5 outstanding names? Take a look. Vehem, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rav Yehuda bar Eli, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, and Rabbi Yossi. Let's review some of the accomplishments of these unbelievable Tanaim. Number one, Rabbi Meir. Two lines from the bottom of page Lamed Daled. Rabbi Meir may avos ha-mishnah. Rabbi Meir is as critical as anyone is in Mishnayis. As we know, kistam mishnah, Rabbi Meir. Stam mishnah, a mishnah without authorship attributed to it. We assume it's Rabbi Meir. It's the position of Rabbi Meir. The Isa b'kisvei ha-rizal. And the Rizal tells us something very deep in his writings on Masechta Shabbos. Sh'Rabbi Akiva ha-yebesod akevo shel adam ha-rishon. Top of page Lamed Hay. That Rabbi Akiva is the secret of the heel of Adam HaRishon. V'Rabbi Meir zocha laha'or shalo shemecha galgalcham. The Gemara has a cryptic statement. The Gemara says that Adam HaRishon was so big, and Adam HaRishon was so great, that his heel blocked out the light of the sun. So somehow Rabbi Akiva, right? Akiva, the Ekev, Rabbi Akiva is somehow connected to the heel of Adam HaRishon, which is described in Chazal as being remarkably powerful. And Rabbi Meir, right, Lashon of illumination, like it says, the Gemara says that the light of Adam Rishon's heel blocked out the light of the sun. So Rabbi Akiva, so to speak, is the heel, and Rabbi Meir is Zochel Ha'or Shalo Shemecha Gagal Cham. And Rabbi Meir is the light, again, the glowing heel of Adam Rishon, which was brighter than the brightness of the sun. So he was called Rabbi Meir. What was his real name, by the way? Rabbi Meir was actually maybe a nickname. Rabbi Meir may have also been known as Rabbi Nehorai. Also, a lashon of illumination. Right? The illuminated one. Okay? So Rabbi Meir, you can't have a Mishnah. You can't have Mishnayos without Rabbi Meir. Not Mishnah, the bulk of Torah Shval Peh. Rabbi Meir has his hand in it. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? It says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shalav Amar Rabbi Abba Il Male Lo Itmesar Oraisa Bitura De Sinai. Had the Torah not been given at Har Sinai, Ela Amar Kuchabrichu, Ha Bar Yochai, if Hashem would have just said, I have a Rabbi Shimon, even had the Torah not been given at Har Sinai, O Raisa Visisrin Dilei, Dayayla Alma, then the Torah of Rabbi Shimon and the secrets of Torah that he revealed would be enough for the whole world. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is also Mamish Kol Torah Kula. He quotes the Gemara in Gittin, Amar Rashbi the Talmidav, pay close attention to my Midos, pay close attention to the Torah that I teach, because my Torah is the trumos mi trumos Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef. Right? I'm, so to speak, the best of the best of Rabbi Akiva. Not better than Rabbi Akiva, but I'm the Yorish, so to speak, to the throne of Torah of Rabbi Akiva. Yeah? So think about it. You think about Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's just Rabbi Shimon says that himself. I'm a watered-down version of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shimon, we can't even begin to put a price tag on the Torah of Rabbi Shimon. He quotes the Zohar. Uvezawar delay yifkon be mingalusa barachame. It says in the Zohar that with my Zohar, through the writings of the Zohar, yeah, get the words down. Yifkon be mingalusa. What does yifkon mean? To go out. Yifkon be mingalusa. You'll go out from galus barachame, right, with rachmanis. Beslus the Zohar cut this. The Zohar is going to take us out with this b'hai chibura. I think it's the lashon of the Zohar. With this. With this work, with this sefer, with this chibur, yeah, with this Torah, we'll be able to go out of the gulfs. Ukamo kein yivtiach shalot tishdakach Torah miYisrael, and of course the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches, the Rabbi Nachman quotes in his Akdama that it was a time period in Jewish history they were worried that the Torah was going to be lost in Yavne, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai got up and he said, "I will make sure that the Torah will never be forgotten," and he quotes the pasuk Ki lo si shachach mi pizaro. And Rabbi Nachman says, Ki, lo, si shachach, mi pi zaro, the last letters are Yochai. So Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who's going to ensure the Torah is not lost. So again, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon. Already we have Kol Torah Kula. And he's only two out of the five Talmidim. So imagine, had Rabbi Akiva given up, had Rabbi Akiva not thought it was worth it to teach five Talmidim, we'd have nothing today. We wouldn't have the Zohar, we wouldn't have the Mishnayos, we wouldn't have anything. Kol Torah Kula. A third Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eli. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli is stam chassid b'gemara. When the Gemara references a particular chassid, it's hinting to who? Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Look in the Gemara, he says in Bava Kama and Tmura, vidarshu alav, and it says of Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, sheker hachein zedoro shel Moshe v'Yoshua, hevel hayofi zedoro shel Chizkiya, isha yiras Hashem hitis halal. Who puts the generation, so to speak, of Moshe, Yeshua, Chizkiyah, who puts it all to shame? Zedorosh Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yilai. The fact that the Chazal would say such a thing about Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yilai, Sheker Achein Behevel Yofi, but Isha Yiras Hashem, he tishalas Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yilai, again, a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, needless to say, he must have left a remarkable imprint on the world, and he was a chassid, he was a true chassid. Number four, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. Who's Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua? Who Rabbi Lazar? Dechol Mishnah Braisa. Stam Rabbi Lazar in a Mishnah and a Braisa is Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, as Rashi writes over there in Yavamis. Vayalibo patuach kapischo shel hecha. And he's described in Chazal as being someone who's what? Whose heart was open like the entrance to the hechal of the Beis Hamikdash. Vahayu mirabosev shel Rabbeinu HaKadosh shel Mesader HaMishnah. And he was one of the Rabbeim of who? Of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who organized the Mishnah. So again, these are the greatest teachers of Torah Shebaal Peh of all time. And last but not least, of course, the fifth Talmud of Rabbi Akiva is Rabbi Yossi. Who's Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi is the author of Seder Olam, the Baal Seder Olam, the author of Seder Olam, an important work of Chazal that's quoted in many different places. The Halacha Kamoso, Rabbi Yossi had a clear understanding of things, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Dini Muko Imo, because his clarification of the points were there. Everything he said was sharp, it was clear, it made sense. And we paskin like him. Vuhu Rabbi Yossi Stam Amuska Rabos from Mishnayos from Braisos. And again, Rabbi Yossi appears all the time. We always run into Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, Rabbi Yossi is all over the place. Take for example Daf Dalet Amud Aleph and Maseches Sukkah. We just learned last week, right? Tevin Vein Osi Lifnoso Afar Stam Machlokas Rabbi Yossi for Rabbanon. Rabbi Yossi is all over the place. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi again is one of the great transmitters of Torah Shebaal Peh. Sorry, I skipped a line. V'haya chassid ma'od. He was a very pious person. And not only that, Eliyahu ragel etzlo. It says about Rabbi Yossi that Eliyahu would often visit him. So we're talking about people who were totally l'malam and atema. These were the five Talmidim in the south that Rabbi Akiva taught. U'kfiya nira ha'isat l'chassam shal chamisha tanayim kedoshim elu shekula k'negid kol ha'chafdal elef Talmidim. If I had to pick the success, if I had to weigh the accomplishments of the 24,000 versus these five are at least as good as the 24,000, if not better. Kamo sha'amru chazal sheheim ha'amidu Torah. Like the Gemara says, it was these five, with their Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, who reestablished the Torah. Klomar, bimkomam shokol ha'esrim va'ar be'elef Talmidim. Their accomplishment replaced and surpassed that of the 24,000 students. So what a great lesson we learned from Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva. What's the gematria of Rabbi Akiva? Who remembers? It's getting closer to Hanukkah. So there's going to be a lot of numbers coming our way soon. Then what's the gematria of Rabbi Akiva? 70. We pass like this to Chino Rabbi, which means you have to figure them out. Your brain has to work at it. Rabbi is 212, and Akiva? Aleph. Akiva's 183. Yeah. And what's Rebbe? Rebbe Akiva? 212. So what do we have? 395?
Yeah.
395. What's 395?
Yeah.
What's 395? Who remembers? 395 is Neshama. Rebbe Akiva's Neshama. It's also Mishnah, as we just learned, that Rebbe Akiva is basically responsible for all of Torah Shebaal Peh. But it's Neshama. Why is it Neshama? And how does that fit the theme that we're developing here? Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is developing here. Because the neshama is the part of yourself that's indestructible. The guf, you can put a lot of effort into it and eventually the guf is going to shut down on you. But the neshama is forever. Which means Rabbi Akiva, whose name is Gematria Neshama, has this unbelievable strength to just keep going forever. He'll never be stopped. There's nothing that can stop Rabbi Akiva. The neshama can't be destroyed. The neshama lives on. So that's where Rabbi Akiva draws his strength from. Akiva, Mishnah, Neshama. It's a remez to remember. Okay, let's keep going. So Rabbi Akiva, it says in the bottom line on page Lamed Hay, Rabbi Akiva zacha lechol zos bizchus shehechzik es asbo gam la'achar nafila. The reason Rabbi Akiva was zocha to have such awesome talmidim is because he was a person who never gave up. Turn the page. Hagedola v'anora. Right, that unbelievable downfall that he went through, and he kept going. B'misasam shal shtayim v'chaytzi revavos talmidim. Right? 25, nearly 25,000, he says. I don't know why. Shtayim v'chetzi revavos, right? Revavos at 10,000. So 2,500 talmidim, hayikarim. Shezach lehem b'yigiyasu atzuma b'dam nafsho. The talmidim that he worked so hard to acquire, and he lost all of them, and yet he kept going. And what's the bottom line? Here's the line to underline. V'ikar b'zeh haya, ki kol machshavaso lohoysa elama alav lasos. And the reason Rabbi Akiva was able to keep going is because he wasn't focused on what? He wasn't focused on results. What was he focused on? He was focused on doing. He was focused on doing. Sorry, I'm just thinking for a second. I think I have something. It is, yeah. What's the gematria of Asiya? Depends how you spell it. Usually we spell it with 1 year, but sometimes we spell it with 2 years.
311.
Iron.
385. No.
Spell with 2 years? 395. It's gematria Rabbi Akiva. It's gematria Rabbi Akiva. Asiya is gematria Rabbi Akiva. I was looking back because I saw he spelled it one time with 2 yods. Usually it can go either way. So Asiya, that's the whole Indian of Rabbi Akiva. Just do. There's four worlds, Chevra. There's Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, and this world's called Asiya. Asiya is Gematria, Rabbi Akiva. That's exactly what Rabbi Yachmir Shechter is saying here. He's saying the avod of a Jew is to do. Rabbi Akiva didn't focus on Hatzlach. He focused on Ma'alav La'asos. Asiya, doing. Keep trying. That's the avoda. It's kvaldik. V'lo al totzos shiu b'maisav. He wasn't focused on the results of his actions. V'chein himshich lil moru l'amir l'harbit sora l'tamidim. V'lo ispal klal mikishlon. And he wasn't moved at all. The fact that he stumbled, he kept going. Yeh gadol kachol, yeh gadol kachol shiya. As bad as it was, al himshich lifol. He kept trying. La'idez azochel l'mashe zochi. He was zochet what he was zochet. By coming to those five students in the south and to build once again, and today we're still living off of that success. So Rabbi Akiva is an unbelievable success story and someone who we have to really get a lot of chizik from. Okay, who else? Let's learn one more example of someone else who lived this way. Who else was the type of person who just kept trying even after experiencing tremendous loss? So he writes in the next paragraph. Kamo ken anu motziya mida mu'ula zu etel Boaz. Who's Boaz? Boaz and Rus. Sha'af alav darshu chazal as a pasuk. Chazal say about him also this pasuk. Ba boker zira es zarecha v'la erev al tanach yadecha. Im ha'amad thabanim. Rabbi Akiva, we said, if you have students in your youth, have students in your old age. About Boaz, we say, Boaz, if you had children, when you were a bacher, when you were young, have children when you're a zakin. What do we know about Boaz's family? To read between the lines. Chazal tell us, Shahayulo Shloshim Banim with Shloshim Banus. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Vekula Mesu Alav Vechayat. And all 60 of his children passed away in his lifetime. Imagine. Now Boaz is an old man. Right? And he ends up, the day before he dies, according to Chazal, at the threshing floor with Rus. And Rus becomes pregnant and Boaz dies. That's the end of his story. Now you can look at that one child that maybe he would have, if he was so fortunate at the end of his life, and you could say, I lost 60 kids, what's the point of one more? And who's to say that she'll even become pregnant? Who's to say this is proper? And there's so many cheshbonos why he could have talked himself out of it. And he could have said that even if I have one child, at this point I lost 60. It's batal b'shishim. It's batal b'shishim. One child, I already lost 60. What's the point of trying? But he tried. He didn't give up. And b'mesiras nefesh, after such a chorban, after losing his family, yeah? According to Chazal, right, he quotes here, v'hu atmo kvar haya ben shalosh meos shana. According to one opinion of Chazal, he was 300 years old. I know that sounds crazy. But according to one opinion, he was very old. He ended up in a position where he would be able to provide kindness for us. ulakayim es apasak on Yisrael el, and to even to be intimate with Rus. Uvischar zo zachu, and by taking Rus as his wife, even for that short period of time, uvischar zo zachu umehem, they were zochet to an unbelievable thing, umehem yotzu kol malchus beis David haMashiach sukeinu. So where does Mashiach come from? Mashiach comes from a Jew who didn't give up. Had he waited a second longer, he could have died. It would have been the end of him. He dies a day later, Chazal say. This was the end of his life. This is where Mashiach comes from. This is where Torah comes from. It comes from people who know that ain't shem yesh ba'olam klal, to never give up, no matter what you're facing. In the bottom paragraph on page Lamed Vav, he quotes from one of our Rebbeim this year, the Vilna Gaon. Umuva b'shem agra, shekol ha'pa'ulos b'zeh ha'olam, hein pa'ulos gashmios, vein pa'ulos ruchnios, harehu kamo zriya basad. Everything that we do in this world, you have to think of it like a farmer who's planting in a field. Our job is just to plant the seed. Our job is not to make chesbonos, is it going to grow, is it not going to grow. What do Chazal say in the Gemara in Shabbos? V'haya amunas itecha chosein yeshuos chachmas v'das corresponds to the six mesechtos. Remember this Gemara? Remember this Gemara? Amunos, Chazal say, is seder zrayim. To be able to plant takes tremendous amunah. Be willing to plant takes tremendous amunah. But says the Vilna Gaon, after our avodah is just to do. To plant the seed. Is it going to grow? Is Hashem going to send down shefa? Is he going to send down gishmei bracha? I don't know. But our job is to try. The only thing we can do in this world is what? Is plowing and planting. That's all we can do. But the rain and the dew? Kamo Kain, Hashemira, Revne Shidafon, Virakon, Vishar Mini Asonos. The fact that my field is not going to experience a drought or the crops will rot, God forbid, or any other type of destruction, that's all Biyat Hashem Yisbarachema. That's true in the spiritual world and it's true in the physical world. In the physical world, the farmer plants his seed and he prays. Vahaya Amunas Zaseh Dezra. He has Amunah that Hashem is going to send him rain. Why else would he put the seed in the ground? He tries. The same thing is true in our spiritual world. Hashem, am I going to be a big Talmid Chacham? I don't know. But I have to walk into the base medrash and I have to try. Will it work? Will it click? Will I gain success in my learning or not? To be determined. But a Jew has to try. Yeah, Rabbi.
So last week, I forget exactly what it was, we were talking about fields, and you mentioned that fields like a very high level. Like
yeah, we said Tzadah is Kedusha, right. That was... Right. Right, so I think that I guess the idea would be to invest in, you know, plant your seeds, right? Plant your seeds in Inyani Kedusha. Right? Meaning if I'm going to invest, if I plant a seed in the physical world, then the success will be determined by the success, right? You're not going to get credit just for trying to plant. You're not going to have food. In the spiritual world, if you plant in the Sadeh of Kedusha, then automatically it grows, even if it rots, because you get paid for the effort. Anu amelim mekal b'schar. So if you plant, I guess, in a field of... In the spiritual world, again, it's more, you're guaranteed. But the bottom line, the Gra is saying, we can't control results. Results is not our inyan, that's not our job. Our job is to wake up in the morning and to try hard. Hashem will decide if it rains, Hashem will decide if the crops rot, God forbid, or there's a terrible drought. That's all about Yad Hashem Yisbarachim. And that's what everything in this world has to be like. We have to try, rakli tiyageya, lachrosh, v'lizroa, to try, to plow, to plant, v'lo lahakdish zman l'machshava al totzos v'atzlachos, and not to make cheshbonos about how successful or unsuccessful I'll be. Ki eilu mipulosov shel aborei hema, because that's Hashem's job. V'im zocha adam, a person is zocha to try, and he works all day, kol hayom b'limud haTorah, ashrei lo, the gevaldik. Why? Ki osa es hapu'ula mispakeshes v'anidreshes menu. If he spends his whole life in Torah, then that's gavaldik. Ulamachar, yamshich bekach, mibli lach shavat hatzos yom het. And I'll do it again tomorrow, regardless of how successful or not successful it was. If I have the opportunity to sit and learn Torah, I go to the base medrash. I'm not understanding, so I'll say, go try. Maybe today it'll click. Right? Maybe this will be that, you know, the time that puts it over the top. But we can't give up. We have to be like Boaz and Rabbi Akiva. Two lines from the bottom. V'tzorach rak levakish me'Hashem yisbarach she'atzliach v'amalod. Davin, ask Hashem for success. Aval chalila v'chalila she'tafriya machshavas ratzon ha'atzlacha es hemshech hiskadmuso bilimut. But God forbid, that one's thoughts, the machshavos and the ratzon for success, should stop me from what? Hiskadmuso, from advancing, from moving forward in my learning. Okay, turn to the last page of the piece. I'll tell you outside the last paragraph because I want to share some Hanukkah Torahs that are connected to this. In the last paragraph on page Lamed Zayin, in the big paragraph, he gives a famous mashal. He says, a mashal, I heard the mashal with a frog. So he says, shrotzim, well, he's a frog. A frog could be called the sheretz. A frog falls into milk. Chavir, you know this mashal? The frog that falls into the milk? A couple of frogs fall into a vat of milk. Right? So one of the frogs says to the other, we can't get out. They're trying to swim to the surface. They can't get out. We're going to drown in here. So one of the frogs says, I'm going to keep trying. And he's paddling and he's trying. No way he can climb out. And he's trying. Yesterday I went to throw out the garbage. I opened the garbage can and the squirrel jumped out of me. It was very, very exciting. Yeah, so this frog is trying. It's trying to claw its way out. It's trying. What's the end of the mashal? What happens if you keep churning the milk? It turns into butter. It's the frog that gave up and drowned. But the frog that kept trying. Eventually the milk turned into butter and it turned into a platform. He was able to climb out of the pot and he was able to make it to safety. Famous mashal, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, that's the avodah of a Jew. I can't survive. I'm definitely going to drown. What's the point of trying? You don't know. Maybe something will happen. Maybe there'll be some results that you never expected. Maybe the milk will turn to butter and it'll make a platform for you to climb out. So the avodah is that a Jew has to keep trying. To realize, ein shum yeyesh ba'olam klal, do whatever you can and leave the rest up to a Kadosh Baruch. So let's connect it to Hanukkah since I'm leaving to Eretz Yisrael on Wednesday and Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. By the time I get back, it's going to be very, very close to Hanukkah. So let's start thinking about, it's already the Shabbos, Mevarchim, Chodesh Kislev, and Sunday's Rosh Chodesh. So let's try to connect it a little bit to Hanukkah. If you think about what they did when they found that oil, it's a pretty remarkable thing. Right? Meaning you're talking about Jews who knew that they didn't have enough oil to get the job done. They knew they had enough oil to last for one night. So they could have said, what's the point of lighting if we're going to run out of oil anyways? Right? They knew it was going to take, according to one opinion, one understanding, it was going to take them 4 days to travel in each direction to get pure oil. So they very easily could have said, what's the point of trying? And yet the chiddush is that they didn't say that. The chiddush says that if we have enough oil to light for one night, even though we're not really sure what's going to happen the next day, let's do what we can. And what happened when they tried? Of course, they saw unbelievable results. They didn't miss at all. The oil lasted for 8 nights, and by the time the oil finally, the miracle ended, they had fresh oil. So they could have said, what's the point of trying today? We're going to miss the next 7 days. Or you could say, no, right now my avodah is to try. They took the shemen. They took the shemen, and they understood that in that shemen contained the message of never giving up hope. Shemen is the same letters as neshama. Ha-shemen is neshama. Shemen is connected to neshama. That's why oil always floats. Oil always rises up. It's the nature of oil to rise up. It's like your neshama. It's the higher part of yourself. Your body ends up in the ground. Your neshama goes back to the olamos, to the higher worlds. So shemen is, again, it's the Indian of Rabbi Akiva. It's that attitude of never giving up. What's the sofei tevos of ein shum yayush? Ein shum yayush, never give up. Look deep into the words. Go to the end of each word. Ein shum yayush, sofei tevos shemen. Oil is a message of never giving up hope. It drew us to keep trying. So let's learn a halacha. Let's learn a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says the following. It's in the Hilchos Chanukah, Simin Tafresh Ayin. The Mechaber says, B'chafei b'kislev, Shmonas Yimei Chanukah. Some of you might remember this Torah from past years. B'chafei b'kislev, on the 25th of Kislev, says Rabbi Yosef Cairo, are the 8 days of Chanukah. No? Anyone? On the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. What's the question? Rabbi Josh, what's the question? You don't have 8 days on the 25th. It starts on the 25th. It lasts for 8 days. Shulchan Aruch writes, "B'chaf he b'kislev, shemona simei Chanukah." The truth is, where did the Mechaber get this from? He got it from the Gemara in Shabbos, Chaf Aleph on the base. My Chanukah, ditanu rabbanon, b'chaf he b'kislev, Yomei deChanukah, Tmanya Inun. On the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. That's not true. We're missing a word. You know how I know that we're missing a word? Because the Ramah, writing his notes on the Shulchan Aruch, puts in the word Maschilin to clarify. Right? B'chaf hei b'kislev, parentheses, maschilin begins Shmonas Yimei Chanukah. But that only makes us wonder more. Meaning, what did we think that the Mechaber meant? Of course, the 25th day is when it begins. It's not all 8 days. But what does the Mechaber mean? What does the Gemara mean when it says, B'chaf hei b'kislev are the Yomei Chanukah, the days of Chanukah, which are 8? Chaf hei b'kislev contains all 8 days? Shver. It's a hard thing to understand. But the answer is yes. It was the courage to light the menorah on that first day that brought about the atzlacha of all 8 days. So in a certain sense, yes, all 8 days of Chanukah were what they did on that first day. They could have looked at all 8 days and said, nah, it's not worth trying even for one day. But it was the courage to try. Chanukah. Why is Chanukah called Chanukah? The Machasitz HaShekel says, Machasitz HaShekel is a commentary at the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Machasitz HaShekel says, maybe it should be called Chanubichafei. They rested on the 25th, according to that opinion. The Marsha doesn't like that pshat in general. The Marsha says, no, Chanukah because of Chanukah Samizbeach. It's not because they rested on the 25th. But however, maybe you could say the following. You remember the Vart from Rav Meir Shapiro that I told you on Koya Zaracha? Right? Avram, go outside and count the stars. Right? Your children will be like the stars. Remember what Meir Shapiro said? Lublina Rav, founder of the Daf Yomi. Avram goes outside and he starts counting. 5, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, a million stars, a billion stars, a trillion stars. He's still counting. And Avram says, God, this is impossible. I can't do it. Right? Hashem says, yeah, but you're trying. Koya Zaracha, your children are also going to try to do the impossible. Maybe Chanu Chafei is exactly that. Chanu Ko. Koya Zaracha. It's Jews who try to do the impossible. What's the point of lighting the menorah? We'll never be able to do it. Rabbi Akiva could have said, what's the point of trying? 5 students, it's a joke. I used to have a yeshiva of 24,000. But he didn't say that. He tried. And that's B'chaf Hei B'Kislev, are the 8 days of Chanukah. Right? 8 is always a number that's L'malam and Ateva. Everything in the natural world operates in sevens. On the 25th of Kislev, the Jews did something that was L'malam and Ateva. They did an impossible thing. It was impossible to do what they did. And they did it anyways. They figured, let's try. That's the very nature of the Jewish people. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Lo alecha hamlachal ligmor. Yeah? Have you know this Mishnah? Lo alecha hamlachal ligmor. It's not your avoda to finish the job. V'lo ata ben chorin li batel mimena. But it's also, you also don't have rishus to say, well, it's too hard to finish, so why should I start? That's not an acceptable approach. Lo alecha hamlachal ligmor. A Jew has to say, it's not my job to finish, but it is my job to start. What's the gematria of lo alecha hamlachal ligmor? Sorry, it's a long one. Let's go, write it down. Lo alecha. Lo is Lamed Aleph, that's 31. Alecha with an ayin. Ayin Lamed Yod Chaf Sofi. So that's 130. Hamalacha Hey Mem Lamed Aleph Chaf Hey. Is what? 95. 101?
Yeah, 101.
And Ligmor? Lamed Gimel Mem Vavrish? It's 279. That's what do we have. So 279, 101. What's our total?
541.
What's 541? What's 541? Lo alecham lachal ligmor. Chevra, this is your name. Your name is Lo alecham lachal ligmor. What's the 541? Yisrael. 541 is Gematria Yisrael. We're called B'nai Yisrael for a reason. Because we're Jews who keep trying. Lo alecham lachal ligmor is Gematria 541. You wear that badge. I don't have to finish the job. But by many people, if I don't have to finish the job, I don't have to start the job. By us, it's opposite. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor is gematria Yisrael. What is lo alecha hamlacha ligmor? It's not upon you to finish the job. Your job is just to try. You remember how Yaakov became Yisrael? He fought against the Malach. He tried. He got injured. He's called Yisrael. We said in the past, he's called Yisrael because what? Because he had the courage to fight. Yisrael is a lashon of trying, right?
Is it 541?
541. He should have been called something else. If his name reflects his victory, he should have been called, like the pasuk says, you fought against an angel, kisarisa, you battled, vatuchal, and you won. Why is our name not vatuchal? Why is our name sarisa? Why is our name Yisrael? Because we try, because we fight. And like I told you in the past from Gedalia Shur, when Yaakov fights a Satan and wins, Yaakov plus Satan, we said is Gematria Yisrael. When a Jew tries, Yisrael. Lo alecham l'chal ligmor. Yaakov didn't have to. Yaakov was outmanned. He was much stronger. The Sarosh Elisa was much stronger than Yaakov Avinu. That's why Yaakov got hurt. But he tried. And surprisingly, he saw results. The Jews lit that oil. Ein shum yeyesh, sofei tevos shemen. They took the shemen, the little bit that they had, and they tried to do whatever that they could. They didn't stop trying. Which animal of the tame animals does Yavan compare to? Anyone know? What animal do you compare Yavan to? You could say camel, because I told you I'm going to talk about camels this year. No, it's not camels. It's also camels, but there's a medrash in Vayikra Rabba. Who learned Maseches Megillah here? Someone here must have learned Maseches Megillah, yeah? So Maseches Megillah, remember Talmai HaMelech took the rabbis and put them into rooms and told them to translate the Torah? You remember?
Yeah.
And they made changes in the Torah. They wouldn't write Bereishis Bar Elokim. They wrote Elokim Bar Bereishis. They changed things around. So they wouldn't write the word Arneves, which means bunny rabbit, because Mrs. Talmi her name was Arneves. Her name was Bunny. So they wouldn't write Arneves in the Torah amongst the tame animals, because it looks like you're saying my wife is a tame animal. It's a little bit disrespectful. So instead, what did they write? Seiras Raglaim, the one with the short legs. Says Rashi, because bunny rabbits have short hands. So the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Yishchai, explains, they couldn't write the one with the short hands because people in the olden days, as we see in this week's parasha, were named based on their appearance. Esav was called Esav because of something that he looked like. Right? Yaakov, because he was clutching the heel. People were named based on kind of what was happening, what either they looked like or what was happening. The reason they called her Bunny was because she was born with short hands. So the Ben Yishchai says, if they write in the Torah, the short hand animal is a tame animal, it doesn't help. So they had to change it, they had to write the short-legged animal. That way they wouldn't insult Mrs. Talmi. But really, a bunny is a short-handed animal. Says the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba, Ve'eshar neves zu Yavan. Why is Yavan compared to a bunny rabbit? Why does the Medrash compare our enemies of Hanukkah to a bunny rabbit? Our neves, I told you, has short hands. Nu, what does that mean? They don't reach. Right? Short hands means I'm not reaching. I'm not. The Kotzker said an amazing thing. The Kotzker Rebbe said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws us down into this world. What's the lashon? I want to get you the lashon. The Kotzker. Oh, I don't have it. The Kotzker Rebbe says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws us down into this world. Yeah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws us down into this world, and he pulls back the ladder. So most people are trying to figure out, like, how do I get anywhere? There's no ladder. But he says, the people who believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to be elevated, they keep jumping, and they keep jumping, and they keep jumping, even though, what are you jumping, what are you trying to grab? There's nothing there. The Kotzker said, just keep jumping, and eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu will throw back down the ladder that got you down to this world, and it'll pull you back up. But you have to keep reaching. You have to keep trying. Nu, where do we come from, Chevra? Our greatest Rebbe, maybe. Moshe Rabbeinu. You know where Moshe Rabbeinu came from? A woman who tried to reach for a basket that was totally out of reach. To save one baby when thousands of others were drowning in the Nile. There was one woman who said, Bas Paro says, I'm going to try. And like Rashi says, her arm extended. Whatever that means. Kipshuto, nakipshuto, whatever it is. But Chazal are clearly saying that her little effort to save one Jewish baby is how they say. If you don't want to interpret that literally, I don't have a problem with miracles, so I don't have a problem saying it's literal. But for those who say, no, it's not literal, their arm didn't actually extend. So you could say what some Sfarim say, maybe as Naim Latora says this, from Zalman Saratskin, that what? That she made a little effort. She saved one Jewish kid, right? Again, babies were drowning all over the place. She saved one kid, and her hand had an unbelievable reach, meaning what? She saved Moshe Rabbeinu. The hashpa of such an effort. She thought, I'll be nice, I'll save one kid. She didn't realize she was saving the Moshion Shel Yisrael, who would give us the Torah, would get a. We're here today because of Moshe Rabbeinu. So look how far reaching her efforts were. Yavan is the world of short hands. Yavan says, don't bother lighting the menorah. You don't have enough oil to last 8 days. What's the point of trying? But the avodah is a Jew has to do what he can. I want to share with you an amazing Das Zakena Mibali Tosos. The Bali Tosos wrote comments on Chumash. In Parshas Mishpatim, I happen to be a big fan of the Das Zakena Mibali Tosos. Sometimes I'll just sit, I'll take out a Chumash, and I'll just read through Das Zakena Mibali Tosos because they always have gems. So in Parshas Mishpatim, The Das Akenim says an amazing thing. It says on the Pasuk, Anshe Kodesh Tiunli, should be holy people, Uvasar Basade Trefa, Lo Sochelu. If you find an animal carcass in the field, you can't eat it. It's not properly shechted. So what should you do with it? Lakelev Tashlichu Noso. Throw it to the dogs. Parshas Mishpatim, Perechav Gimel. Perechav Beis, the last Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed. Mishpatim Chav Beis Lamed. Last Pasuk in Perechav Beis in Shmos. Parshas Mishpatim. Says the Das Akenim, why should you give the carcass to the dog? You know what carcass this is? Dogs were used to help shepherds. Right? Every shepherd has a dog. And the dog barks to scare off the wolf, and the wolf comes to attack the sheep. Sometimes the dog will try to fight off the wolf, or at least alert its master that there's a wolf attacking your flock. Yeah? So what's this dead carcass? What's this dead animal? The wolf got this animal, right? The shepherd comes to his field one day, and he sees there's a dead sheep. The wolf got this one. The dog wasn't able to fight off the wolf. The dog wasn't able to alert the shepherd. The dog wasn't able to do his job. So why am I feeding the dog this carcass? Listen to the Das Akenim. Me'acher she'kelev maser nafsho ala treifa kishabo haze'ev letarfa. Because the dog with the siras nefesh was trying to fight off the wolf when it came to attack the sheep. Lo tia kafay tova kenegda. Don't have a lack of a karza tov. The dog tried his best. This dead sheep is the dog's fault. No, the dog tried. You know how many other times the dog saved your animals? Have a karza tov. Let him have something to eat. Shekishiyeh lecha treifa tashlichei wala bischar. The fact that the sheep wasn't killed last week gave hakar satov to this dog. Because the dog was trying. And the dog saved so many others. So one was killed, but how many others did the dog save? Because that's the way of the world, to have a dog to protect the sheep. So what do you see? Again, the dog tried. The dog deserves to be rewarded for his efforts. He tried. He tried his best. It wasn't nothing. Right? You're focusing on the fact that this time it didn't work out. Think about all the other times the dog did work out. You have a karza tov to the dog. Sometimes you make a little effort and it does work out. Sometimes you light a little bit of oil and it lasts for 8 days. I'll tell you one more Chanukah part. What Gemara is placed right next to, it's a sukkah also, it's a sukkah topic. Opening Mishnah in Sukkah says your sukkah can't be above 20 amos. What about your Ner Chanukah? Where's the place for Ner Chanukah? Shabbos Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, on the Chaf Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, in the name of who? Dorosh Rav Nassan Bar Minyomi Mishmed Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum taught, a Ner Chanukah that's above 20 Amos is Psula. Just like a Sukkah. A Ner Chanukah above 20 Amos is Psula. And then the Gemara has another statement from the same person. Dorosh Rav Nassan Bar Minyomi Mishmed Rabbi Tanchum. The pit was empty, there was no water. Right? If it says it's empty, of course there's no water. Knew what a Chazal say? There was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions. Why is Ner Chanukah put next to Habor Reik Ein Bo Mayim, Yosef being thrown into a pit? Many answers. It's a famous, famous question. It's not the most famous Chanukah question, which is why do we have 8 days as opposed to 7 days? Right? That's the question that has 500 answers. Yeah? Why do I have 8 days of Chanukah? They had enough oil for one day. There should be 7 days of celebration. That's the most famous Chanukah question. But another very famous question is, what do these two Gemaras have to do with each other? Why is it put right next to each other? You can't put a Chanukah menorah above 20 amos, and Yosef was thrown into a pit. There was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions. So, Chaver, I'll tell you a beautiful answer. Whose idea was it to throw Yosef into the pit? Reuven. What did the brothers want to do? They wanted to kill Yosef. Yeah? And Reuven says, you know what? Let's not kill him. Let's put him into a pit. Chaver, you know what the Gemara in Yevamah says about a person who ends up in a pit with snakes and scorpions? That person is so dead that you don't even need to testify for his wife to remarry. There is zero chance you're going to survive. But Reuven says, you know what? Let me try. Instead of putting a bullet in Yosef's head, right? Let's kill him al yedei grama. Let's not kill him directly. Let's kill him indirectly. Let's do a little something. Reuven knew he couldn't convince them to not do anything. But he said, let's lessen the offense. Let's kill Yosef indirectly instead of putting a bullet in his head. Yeah? And Reuven, when he comes back to the pit and Yosef is sold and it's all, Reuven could have said, I accomplished nothing. I didn't do anything. But the truth is, it was Reuven's effort, that little effort to do a little something, even though he couldn't fix the whole situation, I'll do a little something that saves Yosef. That saves Yosef. Right? It was Reuven's idea to put him in the pit, which should have been, it was also, there's no way it's going to work. But let's try, let's do something. And because he did something, he in fact did save Yosef in an indirect way. And Reuven comes back to the pit and he's crying. And he thinks, I didn't do my job. But what does the Torah say about Reuven? By Yishma Reuven, he saved them from their hands. Reuven's the hero. Reuven saved the day. Reuven Mamish saved the day. So, however, we learn from this that a person has to try. That's why the menorah is next to Yosef in the pit. Because the story of Yosef in the pit is the salvation that comes about from trying, and the story of Hanukkah is the salvation of someone who tries. That a Jew says, I'll do what I can. I can't do a lot, but I'll do something. And if I do something, then maybe I'll be zochet to see b'siyata d'shmaya. I'm not going to be a short-handed rabbit like a yavan. I'm going to have a long reach. I'm going to try. I'm going to stretch. Think about the menorah itself, and with this I end. The menorah itself, could Moshe build the menorah? Moshe says, I don't know how to do the menorah. Hashem says, try. Take the menorah, throw it into the fire. Yeah? And then what? And then they'll make the menorah. That's one Rashi. And then you have another Rashi that says Hashem showed him a fiery image of the menorah. Right? Moshe didn't know what to do with the menorah. Hashem says, just do what you can. Take a clump of gold and throw it in the fire, and I'll take care of the rest. The whole sugi of Hanukkah, the menorah, Hanukkah, the bunny rabbit, Yosef in the pit, all these things, they all point to one yesod, which is what? A Jew has to try. Rabbi Akiva, Boaz, keep trying. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you to see remarkable success. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to do whatever we can. And if you do whatever you can, then you're good. You don't have to feel bad, you don't have to worry. Just do whatever you can. Whatever you can. One more story. One last story. I said I was done three times, but one last story. I have a chazak of saying I'm done, so now I have to keep going. Yeah, one last story. The Brisker Rav. I'll end with this, for real. This is from the Nefesh Shimshon on Amuna, or Shimshon Pincus. It's an amazing story. It's really important. It says on page 68 and 69 in the Hebrew edition, it says that Rav Yosef Liss, who was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, said that the thing that upset the Brisker Rav more than anything else, the thing that made him crazier than anything else, was the fact that there was a zilzal in the kvaros in Eretz Yisrael, the chil kvaros in Eretz Yisrael. That they were putting highways and they were putting roads and they were putting buildings on top of places that people were once buried. There was nothing, said Rav Yosef Liss, that made the Brisker Rav as crazy as this. And he was fighting and fighting and fighting to do whatever he could to protect Kavod HaNes, that the bodies should be left alone. So one time Rav Yosef Liss found out that they were about to undergo another project. They were starting to digging in an area where kvaros were again. And he said, I can't tell the Brisker Rav. He's going to faint when I tell him. He went to the Brisker Rav's son, Rav Yashaber, and he said, you know, you have to tell him. So he said, I can't tell my father. He said, you tell him. So he comes to the Brisker Rav and he says, Rebbe, I have bad news. I have very bad news. And he was terrified. He thought Rebbe's going to have a heart attack. He said, Rebbe, I have bad news. They're digging again in the place where the kvaros are. And the Brisker Rav said to him the following. He said he stayed calm. He was very surprised. He stayed calm. And he said, Ma ani yachol lasos? Ma shayisi yachol lasos kvarasisi. Brisker Rav said, what can I do? I've done everything humanly possible. I did everything I could to stop this. And he quoted the Medrash in Eicha, where the Medrash says that there were four kings who won their wars in very different ways. David, Asa, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiyahu. It says about each of them, they had a different way of winning a war. One of them went out to battle, and one of them sang shiros to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one of them at least chased. And Chizkiyahu HaMelech stayed in bed and the Kadosh Baruch Hu won the war for him. So the Brisker Rav said, so why didn't everyone do that? Why didn't everyone just stay in bed and let Hashem win the war for you? So the Brisker Rav, no, he says, you see from each of these kings, from each of these great leaders of Klal Yisrael, that they each had to do whatever they could do. Each one was able to do what he was able to do. David had the ability to fight, so he went out to fight. Yeah? But when there was a Yerida Sadoros and other kings couldn't do that, right? So then they would just chase. They would make it a little effort. When they couldn't do that, they would sit in the base medrash and sing shiros with tishbachos to Hashem, and that's how they win the war. Until it got so pathetic, you read the Sadoros, that there was a feeling that, be'emes, I can't do anything. I've really done everything I can by doing nothing. Chizkiyahu says, all I can do is get into bed and hope that I wake up alive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu won the war for him. Because that's all he was able to do. So the Brisker Rav says, you see from this medrash that Hashem only asks a person to do what he can do. All you can do is try. All you can do is do your best. The Brisker Rav said, at some point, I've done whatever I can. There's nothing else for me to do. It takes it to Madrega to be able to say such a thing about one's efforts, that I've done everything that I can do. But once you've done that, like the Lubavitch Rebbe said on Chav Ches Nisan, That year he got up and he said, I'm done hoping for Mashiach. Your turn. I did everything I could. It's not my problem anymore. Baruch Rebbe handed it over to the people. He said, if you get serious about it, it'll come. I'm serious about it. I've done my part. So as long as you do your part, then Amir Tzashem and Chodesh Baruch will give us Hatzlacha. So let's try. Let's try to be mechazik ourselves in the spirit of Chodesh Kislev Abalini Letova, in the spirit of Kol HaTorah Kula, from Moshe's Yeshua by Basparo, to Rus, to the founder of Boaz, Mashiach, to all of Torah Sheva Alper, Rabbi Akiva, the greatest people in Jewish history, were people who were willing to try. And Amir Tzashem, we should be Zocha to join them in doing the best we can to bring Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch. Shkoyach.